joining the phone right now is author Kristen Higgins. Her new book, Always the Last to Know, is in stores now. Last week in People Magazine, Kristen, book of the week. That's a pretty good stat to get there.
Oh, it was very exciting to get that news, and it's so nice to be back, Mark. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. It's the third time we're talking to you now. I talked to you, of course, for Good Luck with That and Life and Other Inconveniences. Always the Last to Know, you know, I started reading it, and then I'm reading it, and I'm reading it, and I go, now I know why People Magazine said it's the book of the week.
Thank you.
And it's actually, it could be the book of the year. It is so good.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you know, I wanted to write a book about families because, you know, that's my sweet spot. I love writing about families. And in this case, kind of a broken family, you know, functional enough, but drawn together over the crisis of John Frost, the patriarch, when he has a stroke. And his wife, who hasn't really been happy in their marriage for a couple of decades now, has to deal with his illness, and his two daughters, who have had very different relationships with him, kind of rally around and help their parents and deal with each other for the first time, really, because they grew up 12 years apart, and, you know, they get along well enough. But it's definitely the story of what happens when you're forced into close proximity with the people you were raised with and people you raised.
Yeah, you mentioned Barb and John. They're the parents. They were married 50 years. It'll be 50 years tomorrow as the book starts when he has his stroke. And mm-hmm. She was planning on telling him, look, this marriage is over. I can't do this anymore. John had the stroke. And like you said, Barb's favorite was, of course, Juliet, the oldest. She was the only kid they were planning on having. They weren't planning on having more kids. Then comes along Sadie, who happens to be John's favorite. So once you get the parents playing favorites with the kids, it's, you know, it's all downhill from there.
Right, and I think that, you know, the situation is so fraught. For one, you know, he's had a massive stroke, and he's in surgery, and Barb is sitting in the waiting room, and she's holding all his stuff, and his phone lights up with a text, and that's when she learns he's been cheating on her. And she's so, you know, shocked by this, but she's also furious, you know, because she was going to get a divorce and do it the good way. He's been sneaking around. But with the issue of, you know, the parents having their favorites and the girls never really having bonded as much as sisters, you know, are often portrayed as bonding, I think it was a really honest portrayal. You know, when Barb suffers a miscarriage early in her marriage and then can't get pregnant for years, and when she finally has Juliet, it's like the answer to all her prayers. You know, Juliet is an easy pregnancy and birth, and she's just a wonderful baby, and John is working a lot, and so the two of them create their own little special world in this idyllic town of Stoneham, Connecticut. And then 12 years later, when Barb thinks she's going through menopause, and while her mother is dying slowly from a horrible cancer, she finds out she's 5 months pregnant. You know, when she thought it was just grief and some menopausal weight gain, she finds out, oh my God, I'm having another baby. And she, you know, it's a very different experience, a very difficult pregnancy. She has postpartum depression, which goes undiagnosed. And meanwhile, John is a much more hands-on father with Sadie. So the girls have these very different experiences of their parents and very different childhoods. Juliet's life is kind of perfect, and she's got a plan, and she meets every benchmark and exceeds it. And Sadie's kind of like a, you know, a drifter, a floater, a butterfly of a person, you know, where she just kind of settles where it looks pretty and stays for a little while. So when Sadie moves back to Stoneham to care for her dad, she also has to deal with her first and really her only love, Noah, who is their relationship. I thought was fun, Mark, because they never doubt that they loved each other, but they could never make it work either. And so, you know, now they're in their 30s, and there's a lot of feelings that, you know, bumping into each other and having to deal with each other again. And Juliet, who seems, you know, so perfect, Sadie calls her perfection from conception, her life seems so perfect. She's a successful architect. She's happily married. She has two teenage daughters. But she's in the midst of this silent midlife crisis that I think a lot of us women go through, you know, where you're trying to have it all and be everything to everyone, keep all the balls in the air, and, like, you can't deal with one more thing going wrong. And, of course, one more thing goes wrong.
Am I reading between the lines, or maybe it was my impression, but back to Barb and John, it's not that he was having an affair. It's just that she didn't get to say, I want a divorce, before she found out about the affair, or am I reading that wrong?
Well, I think there's definitely, she was going to be very satisfied to say, I'm leaving you, John, you know. So he does steal her thunder in that respect.
Yeah.
But also, she's, you know, at first when we first meet her, you know, she comes across as kind of cold and stiff. But she really took those marriage vows seriously. So the fact that he's also been unhappy in the marriage, and she says to him, you know, after the stroke he's nonverbal, but it doesn't stop her from talking to him. And she says, I would have divorced you in a heartbeat, but you had to go sneak around. You know, you did it the bad way, the dishonorable way. And that really bothers her. You know, she has been nothing if not dutiful in her marriage. You know, she really worked very hard on creating this. And then over the decades, it just kind of erodes, and, you know, with the children and John's career. And he's not a great husband. I mean, he knows that. I think that the way he did it is so abrasive and offensive to her, you know. She would never have cheated on him.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, so I think that, you know, that and now she's left in his, you know, with as his caregiver. So now she's thinking, you know, in sickness and in health, you know, I can't just, you know, throw him to the side of the road or put him in a kennel, you know. So she's taking good care of him. And I think as the book unspools, you see, you know, that she is a very decent person. You know, she's not warm and cuddly, but she's a very good woman. And she's able to be warm and fuzzy with Juliet and not so much with Sadie, but they start to kind of circle each other and view each other a little differently, too, in the course of the book.
Yeah, and each chapter of the book is told from a different character's perspective, and there's only four characters. I mean, the family. I mean, there's other characters,
right.
But the book is told from each of the four characters' point of views as each chapter goes along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, John gets his point of view too, and that was really fun to write because it's post stroke, and he has, you know, he's nonverbal, and he's having trouble kind of remembering where he is in his life. You know, he says, his first chapter says, there's an old man living in his house, and it's him, you know, but he doesn't recognize himself, and he's not sure why Barb looks so tired and why she doesn't seem to love him as much as she used to. And, you know, he will start to remember things too in this sort of fragmented, almost poetic way, you know, where he thinks about the long ago and, you know, in the past when they were happy and before kids. And then Sadie and Juliet, you know, talk about their relationship with their parents and all the things they have going on. And also, like, their sister, you know, like, now Sadie's coming back. Well, at least she's finally doing something responsible, Juliet thinks, you know. And Sadie's point of view, you know, she's a lot more easygoing and free-spirited, and, you know, she admires her sister, but they've never been close. And this family crisis is going to, you know, force them to look at each other in a different way. I think it's interesting, and I think that no child grows up in the exact same family. You know, you can have twins who have different stories of how their childhood was, you know, and if you're 12 years apart in age, you have very different experiences of your parents. You know, Sadie had middle-aged parents, and she was a surprise baby in the midst of, you know, a very unhappy time in her mom's life. And Juliet got this, like, you know, eager, younger mom who, you know, all she ever wanted was, was this little girl. So I think that that's a universal truth, you know, that we all grow up in a different family.
People can follow you online at KristenHiggins.com, at Twitter, at Kristen_Higgins, at Facebook, Kristen Higgins Books. In these crazy times now, you're still in Connecticut with your firefighter husband. Has he been a little bit more busy in the last few months with everything that's been going on?
Yeah, you know, his job is a lot more complicated just because of the safety measures that they have to take. And, there's been a lot of medical calls, and, he's been exposed a few times to COVID, but so far so good. I'm knocking on wood as we speak. Yeah. He hasn't caught it. And, my daughter just became a nurse, and so she's, she's looking at different hospitals to work at. And our son came home from college. But other than that, for me, a writer, life isn't that different. We writers, we pioneered working from home.
Yeah. How are the pets?
The pets, sadly, during the pandemic, we did lose our sweet little Willow to a very aggressive cancer. So I'm looking at adopting another dog, Mark.
What do you have left?
We have Luther, who's a beautiful mutt from House Mutt, a descendant of mutts. He's just sort of, every dog rolled into one. And we have our very interesting cat, Huckleberry, who hates everyone until he loves them. It's like 15 minutes of love a day, and then you're done.
Have you started working on your next book yet?
Yeah, I have. I'm working on revisions for it. It'll be coming out next summer. It doesn't have a title yet. We're rolling that around. But, it's another story of a couple and dealing with some very big issues. I would say it's a love story, and it's about, like all my books, it's got joy, it's got grief, you're going to laugh, you're going to cry. And at the end, I think you'll feel hopeful and uplifted. And, we need books like that these days. We've got, so much uncertainty between the pandemic and police brutality and civil unrest and all this chaos. I think we really need to read books like Always Last to Know that talk about people who are dealing with heartache and crises. And the message is you're going to get through this and you're not just going to be okay. You're going to be better than ever.
Exactly. And your books, your books aren't murder mysteries. They're not gore. They're not thrillers. They're just about family. I mean, that's what the heart of your books are, family.
Mm-hmm. Family dramas and the idea that you can grow and change for the better and you will get through this.
And just a little a warning for this book. You might need some Kleenex by the end of it.
Laugh, cry, laugh again.
Yeah. Well, Kristen, it's always a pleasure talking to you. Again, the book is Always the Last to Know. It's in stores now. Obviously, you can't get out and do a book tour, but bookstores are opening. The country's opening. There's lots of places to get books. So there's no reason why you can't pick this book up somewhere. Your local bookstore, Amazon, Barnes & Noble online. I mean, they're still easy to get books regardless of what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have any, before I let you go, I know it's been out a week. Are you just planning on doing a lot more online stuff coming up?
Yeah, I'll be doing like virtual book clubs, library events, and all that stuff is posted, on my website and Facebook page.
Sweet. Well, we'll look forward to talking to you again next year for your new book, Kristen. Stay safe. Thank your husband for all he's doing, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me, Mark. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.